The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Well, I mean, they got to make the decision. They're going to do what they did in spring training. They're going to reach down and say, look, screw all that.
Hanging breaking ball, licked it out to left. Going back on it is Marsh at the track, at the wall. We're tied!
When you get to this time in your life, your existence, to be laying on a champagne soap carpet is the top dog. That's it. That's the best.
And the right-hander deals again. This one is hit to right in the corner. It is a fair ball. This is going to be at least two. It could be three. The throw. He's in there.
We've established the winning culture here. I think it's pretty evident.
And a base hit in the right. That's your ball game. And the night the Brewers clinch the National League Central, they walk off the Philadelphia Phillies.
My goodness, these guys are something.
Party till midnight. And then remember, you've got to decide, make the choice that you're going to believe that there's a reason this group ended up first place, wire to wire.
We were just in the parking lot a week and a half ago celebrating the Brewers clinching their postseason berth. But today, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy back at the ballpark inside American Family Field as the Brewers begin their postseason run today, this afternoon. Mets come into town, 4:32 first pitch. Of course, you can catch it on our sister station, 620 WTMJ. I'm so excited, Josh, anytime they let me come out to the ballpark, like anytime. Like, this is a really cool place to be. Cool place to be hanging out before something really big that's going to be happening here later today.
I have to say I'm immensely jealous of you getting to sit out there with Ashton on the warning track there at AmFam Field. The Brewers start the playoffs, and it's just the anticipatory feeling of sitting there. There's no one behind you, no one in the stadium really, other than people working there. It just means big things are coming. It's exciting. I'm happy you're there. Obviously, we need someone here to run the ship and keep things on the rails. So I'm not angry about it, but I am jealous. I'll firmly say I'm jealous.
I appreciate you keeping the anger down, too. I appreciate that, bud. So there are some new ballpark menu items that they're going to have, like just for the playoffs. So if you're coming here today, coming here tomorrow, and hopefully for more playoff games going forward, like a chicken and ranch melt, a jalapeno popper dog. They've got a 2-foot nacho box. And a triple play, which is two bratwursts, cheese curds, and French fries. So all these different food items that you can check out at American Family Field if you're coming out here for the postseason game. I've got tickets. I'm coming out for game two. And Josh, maybe you need to come out here just to eat, because apparently you did not have a very good dining experience. What is it, yesterday?
Yes, this was yesterday. There was a bunch of family. It was a large group, so you have to set the standards. Every time you go out to eat with a large group, I kind of do dial it back, like a half a click, maybe a full click, on the expectations, just because trying to keep that many people happy. I think it was around 18 people total in our group.
18?
Yes. There was a relative in town who hadn't been for more than a decade, I believe. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so a bunch of people came out for this singular event. The big problem was, and I don't know if I've ever seen this in any adventure when you go out to eat, is not a single person enjoyed their food, Gabe.
Wait, okay. You had 18 people.
Yep.
18 people.
Yep.
Not one person in the group of 18 enjoyed their food.
If someone did...
Like, did anybody get, like, sick? Because there's... I feel like in every menu, no matter where you are, like, there's safe items, right? Like, for example,
of course.
And I'm not saying you went to, like, if I'm going to, like, a Chinese restaurant, we're doing Chinese takeout, and I'm not quite sure what to do, like, okay, General Tso's, like, that's the safe
Correct.
Option. Like, you can't be in business as a Chinese restaurant and not be able to make, you know, a passable General Tso's chicken. So you're telling me all 18 people tried the food and said, nah, it's not for me.
I saw probably 10 to 12 different dishes across all 18 people. And at the end of the meal, as things were wrapping up, there was more than five or six people who had, and I'm not exaggerating, 90% of their meal left or more because of what they were experiencing there. There was
the sides, because I'm assuming you didn't go to a steakhouse with 18 people, right?
Correct.
So I'm assuming this is just like bar food.
Yeah, yeah, it's close to that. Yes, like in that ballpark. Which I mean, you kind of have to do when you go that big, as you said.
Yeah, 100%. Yes,
there's no place. Yeah. There's very few and far between places where you can just stack, you know,
people. The fries or chips or tots or whatever you get with your sandwich on the side. Like, did people even eat those?
I ate fries. They were a little chilly, but there's obvious reasons for that. That to me,
and not the good chili, and not the good chili.
Right. There to me, there's good reason for, like, a fry can get, especially when you're serving that large. Like, I'm not gonna the coolness of a fry is not going to make or break. It was just frankly not all that good, and I don't know, because I've heard good things about the place, which I will not be mentioning here. I've heard good things before, so I don't know if it was just a bad day or what it was, but...
But the problem is, like, if you're having a bad... Well, BLT is a bad example, because, like, if you can't make a BLT,
yeah,
like, you probably should
that's
be
simple.
Open.
Right.
Like, if you're
I
having
can make
a...
One
if
of
you're,
those.
Yeah, right? Like, I can make one that's going to satisfy, and, oh, yeah, I can finish this. I can eat this. I don't even know what the example would be for bar food. Like, if you're having a bad burger day, like, maybe, you know, maybe the burgers have been in there for just a little too long and the meat's not the best. Like, okay. But you said it was a plethora of different options that you guys had.
Yes.
Like, a number of different things that you get. So it's not like everybody was ordering the same thing.
No, there was four different sandwiches just at my table, and then there were some entrees that had some pasta dishes, some other stuff as well, and just no one enjoyed it, and I got to a really uncomfortable spot.
Man, even the pasta was bad?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, I feel pasta is one of those things where, like, okay, you can do pasta and it's fine. I mean, if you go to an Italian restaurant, like, there's one in my old neighborhood of River West, Centro, like, it's a great Italian restaurant. Like, it's just elevated, like, it's fantastic. But if just a regular restaurant does pasta, like, that should be passable, that it's eatable, yeah, and you're not leaving 90% of it behind.
I one of the younger people in attendance described it as mid, and the pasta was fine, it was cooked fine. That was it was the things on top of it that didn't quite reach the right mark. And it got to, and I mean, you know me, I'm not very confrontational. We talked about Jen, how she told someone that they didn't enjoy their meal. I would never, ever go that far. That is just way too far.
Because chances are it's not getting relayed to the person that it actually matters to.
Yeah, yeah. So it became incredibly awkward when the boxes came around, because a lot of people had a lot of food left on their table.
You said 90%
some
people's food is still on their plate.
Yeah, yeah. And there was, I think two people took pity boxes because they felt bad, and then the rest were just full plates just removed from the table and taken back to be just thrown away. I was so uncomfortable, I couldn't look the server in the face. I was
But you know what, Josh? I feel like that message is actually has a better chance at getting through to the kitchen than telling the server, yeah, we didn't enjoy this meal. Because if anybody in the staff in the back notices you scraping an entire plate of pasta into the garbage before you give it to the dishwashers, I think that message is received.
Yeah, yeah. It was a situation I never want to find myself in again, and it's going to happen when you do that. But, like, you don't want to say anything or be even particularly rude to the server. They're not the ones making the food. They're not the one who made the menu even. So it was just, I was so uncomfortable. I had never in my life experienced anything like this, where so many people kind of were looking around like, ooh, ooh, and then you're, like, trying to keep your hushed tones and not really give a true appraisal of how you felt the food was, because you don't want them to overhear you and then feel bad for them.
Oof. Hey, Josh, it's Ashton.
Hey, guys, it's Ashton.
So my quick question for you is, will you ever go back to give this place another chance?
Yeah.
Is it just an off night?
I think
I don't know if you can.
I think there's a... Well, the thing is, I would go back with, like, less than 10 people. I think
18's a lot. I think it's on you guys. I'd like to give that controversial opinion. I mean, okay. I think it's on you.
Wait, so okay, you.
Well, what are we supposed to do?
Split up. I don't know. Two separate tables of nine.
It was parents two separate here, tables of nine, by the way. That's how.
Oh. Your Honor, what is it? I rescind my objection. Overruled.
Okay, now you're just going to say court terms?
Yeah.
Lawyered. You got to go back. You have to give another shot. It's not fair. You gave them 18 chances.
I mean, because
chances.
Because you did have friends that that have said good things about this place, right?
Yes, correct.
So that's the issue. Ashton, like...
Were they just unreliable... unreliable
sources.
Well,
that's what you have to decide.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You've got to decide. You know the friends that recommended this place. You're the one who has to decide if they're the ones who are unreliable or not. That's not something we can decide for you.
That's another good point.
What did you do? Because it's not the server's fault. Did you tip the normal amount?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Did you? Okay.
Yes. And the
typical nice guy move, yeah.
Yeah, the server was working very hard because serving 18 people is by no means a walk in the park for anyone. The person was... more than fairly compensated because, yeah, what are you going to... The person's not back there cooking the food. They're not making the menu. They got nothing to do with it. They're working hard. They're trying to keep everyone happy. So I've never on food quality tipped less, I think, ever in my life.
So Chef Ed chimes in, 800-990-3776. Josh, you got to say something. If the kitchen was at fault, they need to comp your entire table.
No.
I don't know if 18 people are getting comped.
That is an awkward conversation where what am I going to be like? Well, I don't think I should pay for this because I didn't like it. And like, the place exists, so some people must like it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so Ryan says it's hard to have that much food ready at the same time, which yes. I think was Joshy's point of he wasn't going to complain if his fries were a little cold because he's, again, Joshy's worked a number of different jobs. He's understanding of, okay, you know, my food must have been ready a little bit earlier. The fries are cold, whatever. That's not what he's holding against him. He's holding the tasting
yes.
of the food. Jeff in Elkhorn saying, could it possibly be over or under seasoning?
No, it seemed so... Like, the hardest thing is the meats on a couple different plates, and they were different types of meat, were, like, dry, which is not really something you can... That's not something that is temperature-based or seasoning-based.
No, that's just overcooking.
Yes, it was, like, overcooked or, you know, whatever it was, it wasn't a high-quality cut of meat, you know. You could do whatever, but, I mean, there was chicken, there was pork, there was beef, there was all sorts of things, and they... They all kind of, everyone looked around and had the same thing, despite the origin of the animal.
We have to give us an answer by the end. Are you going to go back, and are you going to go back soon? Should Joshy go back after this experience he had at a restaurant recently, 800-990-3776? But we are excited. Baseball. Playoff baseball being played here in Milwaukee at 4:32 later today at American Family Field. Rick Schlesinger going to be joining us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation Army that they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Not only is it a huge day, we've got playoff baseball here in Milwaukee. We're hanging out at the ballpark today. American Family Field before Brewers take on the Mets. 4:32, President Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger jumping on with us here at the ballpark. Rick, thank you so much for jumping on.
Glad to be here early in the morning.
kind of a longer day for you with the, I mean, at least you don't have the late start today, you know, kind of more of that late afternoon start.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's all good. Didn't sleep much last night. So this is why we're here. It's postseason baseball.
Do you at least get out of the suit a little bit for the game? Throw on a Brewers hoodie or something?
No, I'll wear the suit. It's
okay.
Good. It's good. You know, I want to class it up a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, especially jumping on here in Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We appreciate you classing up our show just a little bit. It never gets old, right? It can't get ever, because I remember being a Brewers fan, you know, growing in the 90s, 2000s, and, you know, the first time that the Brewers made the playoffs since 82 was 2008, and that was such an exciting time. And now it's happening on a consistent basis. I don't know about you, but I'm still super stoked for playoff baseball.
Yeah, it's just different. You can't take it for granted. It's very hard in baseball to make the postseason. You saw, you know, all the games that were played yesterday. You know, the Diamondbacks won 89 games, and they're sitting at home. And the reality is, you know, it's a tough 162-game schedule. It's a grueling schedule. It's a grind. And one game in April can turn out to be the difference. 1-8-0 lead for the Diamondbacks turning into a loss kicks them out of the postseason. So we don't take it for granted. It's a privilege to be here, privilege to be in the postseason. And, you know, the goal was to go all the way. And we haven't done that as a franchise. So we know there's a lot of unfinished business to do, but we're really excited to be here and focused on, you know, win tonight, as Murph says.
Well, Willy Adames yesterday said, inside the clubhouse, it just feels different. Do you feel that from where you sit?
Yeah, you know, I think every team has a different vibe. And, you know, and obviously we had great success with Craig Counsell here, and Pat took over and just has a different vibe, you know, and everybody has a different style. And, you know, we just we weren't able to get over the hump in the past. And so I think with Murph, you know, I'm excited about what he brings, the culture he's brought, the sense of urgency, the fun, the fact that he holds these guys accountable, but they love playing for him. They love winning for him. And, you know, he's really focused on just the game in hand and control what you control and ignore what you can't. And he's brought this great culture to the clubhouse, and it started in spring training.
President Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger, joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brewers, Mets, 432 right here at American Family Field. Again, catch it on our sister station, 620 WTMJ. What's up with the two? 432? Kind of a weird start time, right?
Yeah, baseball has some oddities. You know, they have some strange things on, you know, game times and all that. But, hey, if they said we're going to start at 632 a.m., we're
hey,
here,
oh,
man.
Hey, I tell you what, that parking lot would be full. People would have had their headlights on just so they can tailgate to get ready for playoff
baseball. Absolutely. So, yeah, the game times are a little, you know, they've got obviously a lot of pregame stuff. And again, we'll play whenever they tell us to play, and we'll play whoever they tell us to play.
I was here about a week and a half ago out in the parking lot. We were doing our show for the drive-through tailgate. Whose idea was that? I got to imagine you were incredibly happy with it, because I could not believe the number of cars for, I mean, it was over 3 hours the way people were lined up before it opened at 6. The number of people who came through, were you happy with the outpour of support from community, and whose idea was that?
Yeah, it was our marketing communications folks who came up with it. And yeah, I got there really early in the morning, and I was, you know, sort of stunned to see all these cars lined up at 4 a.m. And I thought it was great. You know, I thought, well, maybe I'd be the only one there. I'd have to drive in through myself. But it was, we ran out of the flags. We ran out of rally towels. You know, Donald Driver was there. Pat Murphy was there.
Robin
Yount was there. We had, you know, Badger, you know, sports celebrities. You know, I was there, but we didn't advertise that because that doesn't bring anybody in. But I had a good time. But it was really amazing. The fans, the best fans. You know, they're just so passionate. They're so appreciative. They don't take it for granted. It's a big, small town, and, you know, that makes you even more motivated to try to deliver a championship.
Do you know how many brats you had left? Because I was told you guys made 5,000. Well, and I know not everybody was taking one. I can't believe people were turning down a brat. I guess it was, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning. But how many brats did you guys have left?
Not many, because we ran out of 5,000 flags and all the rally towels. And, you know, Donald Driver was so great. He was, you know, talking to people in the cars, and he would sometimes spend 5 minutes. And I'm saying, Donald, you're the best, man. But we got 75 cars. They're backing up on 94 freeway, and the sheriffs are getting angry. So I had to move people in. But, yeah, some people took a few more than just a one or two brats, but it was fine. I don't think we had any left, but they don't, you know, you don't want to keep them overnight. You want to eat them right away.
Rick Schlesinger, President of Business Operations of the Brewers, joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What's special happening around the ballpark today, tomorrow?
Yeah, we had some rallies yesterday where we brought more flags out and more rally towels. And, you know, hey, if we're fortunate enough to advance, we're going to do some more fun things. You know, and I think we've got some ideas planned for even further, but I don't want to jinx us.
Sure.
You got to plan
for
every eventuality.
Yeah.
And we want to activate things that we've talked about for many years, because, you know, we've been in the postseason 6 to 7 years, and we keep thinking about other things we can do, and we haven't been able to because we haven't advanced. So I think the team owes us for all the hard work the front office put in. I think these players, you know, they have to win because we've got all these great ideas stored up for 10 years.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that. But, I mean, again, it's just different things that you guys do, like couple of different menu items around the ballpark for people who are coming here for the next couple of days.
Yeah, so I know everybody's talked about this giant, 2-foot box of nachos. And I like nachos. That's a lot of nachos. But if you bring some friends, it's great. But, you know, there's specialty merchandise, obviously. There's specialty food. We're going to have some really fun in-game scoreboard features, the rally towels everybody's going to get, and just sort of the pageantry and excitement and nervous energy that postseason baseball brings. And, you know, I'll be pacing. I've been pacing all night. I haven't really slept because, you know, every game is magnified its importance. And this is a journey, and it's becomes a sprint now. Baseball is a marathon. The postseason's a sprint.
Oh, that's... I try to tell people that, of how different playoff baseball is versus regular season baseball, and how you're on the edge of your seat for every single pitch. But we got to talk about your sleeping habits here, bud. Like, if you weren't, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like the NFL playoffs or even the NBA playoffs. That there's another game tomorrow. Are you going to be the same way? Like, are you not going to get any sleep tonight going into tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll probably sleep a little bit just because of sheer exhaustion. But, you know, there's nervous energy. You know, I grew up a Brewers fan. I'm from here. And I remember, you know, the 82 team, but I also remember the lean years. And, you know, to be in the position where you're now one of the 12 teams standing and have a chance to win it all, it's magic, and it's a privilege. And we don't take it for granted, and we want to be part of it. And the fans have been great, and, you know, the support we've seen all year is really magnified here in the postseason.
Do you have a favorite memory of this season, a favorite moment that stands out to you that defines the 2024 Brewers?
That's a great question. You know, I go back, and it's not too long ago, we're losing 8-0 to the Diamondbacks. They need that game desperately, and it turned out that probably was the game that cost them the postseason berth. For us to come back down 8-0 and win that game, and just in the way we did it, was tremendous. There's been some great memories. You know, I tend to remember the losses more than the wins.
Oh,
because, you know, the defeats sort of stick with you, and the wins sort of are a blur. There's been some great moments here, the Brewers, and we have magic moments left to come.
We mentioned the support of the community coming out for the drive-through tailgate that you had a week and a half ago, the different rallies you guys have had. What has this organization been able to do to really connect with the community? Why does that bond exist?
Yeah, I think it's been there. It certainly, you know, has been there since the team came here. You know, Milwaukee has a special, you know, relationship with baseball. We lost the Braves, and while that was before I was born and before you were born, you know, it's still sort of the lore of Milwaukee in baseball. And when the Brewers came, you know, from Seattle on like 2 days' notice in 1970, and, you know, and all the efforts to get the team here, to build then Miller Park, and then the recent ballpark funding to keep us here for the next generation. I think, you know, not many communities do that. And the fact that our fans and our state stepped up and said, not only do we want the Brewers here, we want this ballpark to remain a state-of-the-art great facility that it is. And we're going to have bipartisan legislation to pass it in an environment when people from the parties don't talk to each other, and people in the business community around the state, the fans, everybody got together. That, to me, is a testament to how much love there is for this team. And we owe that love back in the form of maintaining this ballpark and winning a lot of games.
Can you imagine that happening today on like 2 days' notice? Just, oh, by the way, your new ballpark is a couple time zones away in Milwaukee. That's insane.
Yeah, they literally had the truck at spring training. They weren't sure if they were going to go north to Seattle or east to Milwaukee. So they literally stopped at the edge of the Arizona state line and waited instructions. So, yeah, as Commissioner Selig has told me that story, and he says, listen, it's so good that I didn't know what I didn't know, because, you know, you couldn't replicate that. Putting a major league team together in 6 days, it's unfathomable. But he did it, and talk about a guy with resolve and perseverance and tenacity. That's Commissioner Selig, and to his credit, we're here because of him.
Rick, appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping on. I'm really hoping we get a couple of wins here so, A, you can activate all these great things you guys have in your minds and in the business department here with the Brewers. And also, like, if they win two, at least you might be able to get some sleep before the next round. But
I'll be nervous about the division series, but I'll live with sleeplessness if that's what it takes.
All right. The great sacrifice of Rick Schlesinger. He will live without sleep if the Brewers can make a run. It's a great trade-off, if you ask me as well. So many things still happening from the ballpark, but Jason Wilde going to join us next to talk a little green and gold on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Come see what's brewing. Come see what the good times are. Playoff baseball, baby, and you're there and ready for it.
Jason, and part of it's probably because I did play, you know, again, Division III college baseball, but there's something being, even if though it's empty and it's 7:30 in the morning, like just something brings peace to me just being at a ballpark and seeing this beautiful thing that has been built here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, you know, I was not a Division III baseball player like you and all your incredible accomplishments as an athlete, but I'm the same way about Lambeau Field. There's something about just being in the stadium, like even when I don't write from the press box after the game anymore. I just stay down at my office. I used to walk back up to the press box. They used to have free cousin subs after the game too, which was a nice perk. But there's nothing better than, you know, getting there. I don't get there now that early because we've got Green Bay game day pregame that we love to do. But there's just something about an empty stadium, right? It's a little bit like Hoosiers. Hickory!
Sure.
So it's I'm glad you're enjoying yourself.
The Packers, I don't know if they're enjoying themselves after their loss to the Minnesota Vikings. And I personally, Jason, I talked about it yesterday a lot. I am concerned about the front seven. I am concerned about the pass rush. How concerned are they about the pass rush?
I think they're concerned. I think they're trying to figure out why they've invested. What do you got up there? You got four first-round picks, right? Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, and LVN. You've got your one remaining big-ticket free agent from that 2019 class in Preston Smith. And you got Bupkis from them in the game on Sunday, right? The two sacks came from Quay Walker and Keyshawn Nixon, right?
Yep.
And the whole idea, and look, they needed that front four, whoever they were rotating in at the time, to be productive and generate a pass rush without blitzing, because they were missing their top two corners against probably the best 1-2 receiver punch, unless you prefer Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, because obviously Deebo Samuel is out in San Francisco for the last couple games, but him and Brandon Ayuk are probably in the conversation. But I would argue that Addison and Jefferson are the best 1-2 because of how good Jefferson is. And so you would love to be able to, simple math, devote more guys to coverage. And they basically had no choice than to get after Sam Darnold by blitzing. So, you know, I don't love the lack of production they're getting out of Rashawn Gary, but more importantly, I don't understand it. Like, I saw, I don't know who posted this, but somebody posted a clip of him being blocked one-on-one by a tight end. And he, like, doesn't even get a sniff. And, you know, Tausch and I used to go round and round, and I said, no, I mean, the guy hasn't even had a double-digit sack season. He's not an elite pass rusher at this point. And right now, he definitely is not an elite pass rusher.
Well, so that's what I'm trying to figure out, Jason. So I saw – so Andy Herman put this out there. One sack in his last 11 games. That's what Rashawn Gary has. Obviously, he's one of the highest-paid pass rushers in the NFL. And everybody who was at training camp made the same observation that he looked really good early in training camp. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out, is it possible that the knee injury took away some athleticism and he's still trying to learn and get past that, even though it's been over a year at this point, but he looked really good in training camp. And I guess that's probably why they're confused too.
Well, and his one sack, I mean, Lane Johnson is still, I think Lane Johnson is still in Brazil arguing that that play shouldn't have counted.
Sure.
I mean, he was adamant that that was a penalty. So I don't want to make excuses for Rashawn. I don't know Rashawn super well to know what his attitude is about this. When we talk to him, he does not he's guarded. Like he's not going to open up and talk about how frustrated he is with his production. That just, at least in my experience, that has not been how he is. But again, they need him. They paid him to be a field tilting player. And this is part of it, right? Like, I don't usually think about contractual stuff once the contract is done and you've signed it and you got paid. But a lot of folks think, okay, we're paying a lot for this guy, and look at the return on investment we're getting currently. But it's not just him, right? I mean, it's the whole group. And I think we fell for some fool's gold with what they were able to do against Will Levis and the Titans the previous week. And we thought, oh, the pass rush. I remember saying this to you. After that game, I referenced Rodgers making that comment after, what was it, the 18 opener? We got a defense.
Against the Bears, yeah.
Right? And I thought, I don't want to be the guy who says we got a pass rush like Aaron Rodgers did just because of 8 sacks against a slightly step up from Ashwaubenon High School. So I don't think that this is good by any means. Do I think Jeff Hafley's a really smart guy and he can start figuring out what the issue is? Sure, but this is, they went up against a good offensive line, and as Tausch likes to say, the Vikings ate their lunch.
To me, it's not a Jeff Hafley problem, Jason, because as you mentioned, the 2 sacks that they got seem to be pretty good time blitzes from Quay Walker, and then the big play where you got the sack fumble from mm-hmm. Keyshawn Nixon, and he's done that a couple of times now with Keyshawn. So to me, I don't know how much Jeff Hafley can do. It's, if you're trying to get home with 4, like, you have to get home with 4. And how many players have told you in the NFL it's not necessarily X's and O's, it's your Jimmys and Joes. And if your Jimmys and Joes can't, get home with a pass rush, then, I mean, yeah, you can blitz on occasion, but depending upon how long Jaire Alexander and Carrington Valentine are going to be out, like, there's only so much you can do there because you don't want to be leaving, Stokes and Nixon and Valentine on islands on the back end.
Yeah, I mean, he can obviously do a lot more of showing blitz and dropping out of it and making, things a little more difficult to read for the offensive line and for the quarterback. He can also, they can run more stunts and twists. I don't know. I haven't gone back and looked specifically at the defensive line yet. I was going to do that today while I was writing about their pass rush to see, how many games are they playing up front? Because I think, if Chewy were here, he would say that that's one way that the defensive line can confuse blockers is by doing that. But you're right. The bottom line is players got to play. And play. And I just don't think that right now they could shake it off, if you will. I'm listening to
Come on, man.
That's really good. That's really good. I don't know why he decided that Taylor Swift was the way to go, but I'm glad you did it, Jason.
Yeah, that's Sydney's influence. Maddie's a Pink girl. Sydney's a Swifty. So it's I get a lot of great music in the car when I'm with them.
They're just, how long is the leash for Braden Arvidsson?
I think it's pretty long. I mean, unless they're willing to go get Brandon McManus, who was just cleared by the NFL. I was talking to somebody yesterday, so I don't have a full understanding of what he allegedly did on the team flight to London. I think the word groping was used by the person I was talking to with some flight attendants, and they filed a civil suit. But the NFL has, in terms of the personal conduct policy, cleared him. And so he will be available to sign with whatever team he chooses. Now, that said, I don't know if he's like so star-spangled awesome that they would say, okay, this guy's a clear upgrade. He's kicked in the league for a while. We feel better about him. And we're willing to take kind of the PR hit because he still has that civil suit pending. Now, the other options with Greg Joseph, a member of the Giants, I can't take credit for this. Bill Huber compiled a list of the current free agent kickers. And as he put it, the next best available kicker might be Anders Carlson. And we know that ain't happening. So whether it's a longer leash,
you're not a big Brett Maher guy.
Well, I mean, he's the guy that the Cowboys like stopped like kicking the ball in games, right? Isn't that
yes?
Is that
correct. Yes, yeah. It was more of a joke, Jason. I am not a Brett Maher guy either. I just thought that was the next best name after Anders Carlson.
Yeah, I thought maybe I was confusing him with other kickers, but like when a team loses so much faith in you that they're like going for 2-point conversions and going for it on 4th and 8 all the time, he's probably not going to be an upgrade. And that's my point, is that they put themselves in this position. And look, they're not the only ones. Like, there's a bunch of rookie kickers around the league. The Vikings have one. And you know, there's made all 3 of his field goals. So I don't know if I fully grasp, or at least one of his field goals. I think he only kicked one. But my point is that I just don't think they've got other options. So the devil, you know, not that Braden Narveson's a devil. He's a very nice fella, but might be better than the devil you don't. And this is what happens when you get on the kicking carousel. You start to get nauseous, you start to get dizzy, and you want to fall off, but you just have to hold on because the other options aren't very good.
Christian Watson, any update on him, his injury, and how long he could potentially be out for?
So LaFleur said that he's probably not going to play this week. So you got that going for you, which is nice.
All right, at least we're not doing the he's limited thing with Christian Watson. All right, that's not good that he's not playing, but good that we have somewhat of an answer.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've said this a million times. I have a great working relationship with LaFleur. I like him as a dude. His word games with the injury report, I have no use for. And he pissed me off yesterday because he bragged. It reminded me of the time that Mike Sherman came up to my office after a press conference and knocked on the door and came in and sat down. I could have made him a cup of coffee if he wanted one. And he bragged, "Boy, I gave you guys nothing today." And I got after him. I said, "Mike, I need you to understand we are the conduits to your fan base. I take that. I've always taken that responsibility very seriously." And I was mad at him. I'm like, That doesn't. Your fans want to know more about your team, not less. And you don't increase your chances of winning because you don't give us anything. And LaFleur yesterday, once again, bragging, brazenly bragging in our faces that he intentionally did not talk to Flea and Nate Weir, their top 2 lieutenants in the athletic training department, because he didn't want to be able to answer questions about anybody's injuries. I just, it makes me so mad. Like, not only does he not want to give information, but now he claims he's avoiding the medical staff so he can plead ignorance when we ask him questions about injuries. So I find that frustrating. He's playing the game. I will again reiterate that I believe with the daily fantasy and with the gambling aspects that the NFL has now its own gambling partners, that this will eventually come to a very quick and decisive end, and they will have to be far more forthcoming about this stuff because of the NFL doing that. So my understanding is that this is a multi-week injury. I think Ian Rappaport said that it was he's probably going to go on IR, which would mean four games. He would be back potentially for that Lions game the first week in November. But you hear it every time, you know, as part of my walk-up music or whatever we call that, imaging, Ashton would call it.
Ashton's very happy that you called it imaging.
Yeah, he's taught me well. They're a different offense when Christian Watson is out there. And I know his numbers aren't very good, but in that Tennessee game, he had two catches of over 30 yards in that game.
Huge catches.
From Malik Willis.
Yep.
And so he is I think they're better equipped to handle his absence with Bo Melton having emerged. I still believe in Dontavian Wicks, but they are not. It's not just, oh, it's okay. We've played with him without him before. I think he will be missed for however long he's out.
Jason, appreciate the time, buddy. We will talk to you again on Thursday.
I look forward to it. Enjoy your time at the old ball yard, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Again, always appreciate Jason's time. Excited to be here at the ballpark. But also, I do want to let you know that it doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. Mentality, local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. You can compete at work in sports like you did years ago. Look, if you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, could be signs of low testosterone. You need to go to Mentality and find out if it is. Because if it is, Mentality can help and get those testosterone energy levels where they need to be. They have helped me a lot, and they can help you as well. So go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What was a rebound? Remound? What did you just say?
Robust.
Robust.
You can say robust. Rebound. Doesn't robust sound like a nice rebound word of saying just a click below fat?
No, buddy, you're not fat. Well, you're rebound.
Well, Charles Barkley.
There's another
round mound of rebound.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Lucky and privileged enough to be hanging out at the ballpark ahead of the 4:32 first pitch. Brewers-Mets in the wild card round. And we are joined by the Vice President's Consumer Experience, Tom Hecht. Tom, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for getting up early this morning, bud.
Thanks for coming out and visiting with us.
So I've been to a couple of playoff games now, and the energy, the fans, but what can fans expect if they're coming to the ballpark today, tomorrow?
A lot of pomp and circumstance. I mean, we really want to make this a fun experience. See, the ballpark parking lots open up 3 hours before first pitch. We've got DJs playing outside. We've got fun and games out there. We'll have our 414s out there working the crowds when fans come into the ballpark. We'll be doing the chalk intros of the team about 30 minutes before the start of the game. Giant American flag in the middle of the field. Bunting everywhere. It's a special time of the year for us.
The bunting everywhere is always my favorite. It's a little touch, but like for a baseball nerd like me, it's like to me that's just like, okay, yep, now I know it's playoff
Gabe,
time.
It's new bunting.
New
brand
bunting.
New bunting.
Ooh,
we're not messing around.
Yeah,
new bunting.
That's what I like to see. A mass ordering of new bunting here at American Family Field. What are some of the favorite things that you guys have been able to do at the ballpark this year?
You know, we have a great – obviously the new scoreboard here is you know, really – brought the game to a whole different dimension. We have two boards up here.
Jackson tried to break it right away.
Yeah, we actually specially marked where he where he hit it.
That was great.
And yeah, and it's still up there. Somebody said, should we take it? I said, no, leave it up. Leave that up. We're going to leave it up all year. So, you know, we have a great video team. They put together some really special stuff. Fireworks brought back into the ballpark. You know, we just really want to make it a really cool fan experience.
Yeah, and I think that what have you guys been able to do to make that connection between the team and the fans even stronger? Because I think that this town just there's been to me a energy around this team that we haven't had the last couple of years, despite them being very good.
You know, Pat has brought a whole. It seems like he brought a whole different dimension to the team, just the way that they play. the way that they, you know, the other day, Sal Frelick nearly killed himself trying to catch a foul ball in a game that really didn't mean anything to us. That's just the way they play. We run bases. We take the extra base. I mean, they play with a lot of fire. They don't feel like, you know, no matter who they're playing, they feel like, you know, every game they should be winning. And they bring that intensity every game. And the fans, I think, pick up on it.
Is there a moment that stands out that defines to you the 2024 Brewers this year?
You know, to me, even though we had clinched everything, I thought the other day when we were down 8-0 to Arizona.
See, Rick said the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, we there's that concern that when you clinch that you kind of turn it off.
Yeah.
And after we had won that, we lost a few games in a row. We were down 8-0. And I remember specifically Pat Murphy had said after the game that he asked Willy Adames in the fifth inning if he wanted to come out of the game. And Willy said, no, I want to keep playing. And they were saying in the bullpen and whatnot, we're going to win this game. And sure enough, they came back. And I just thought that was just a really cool moment because, again, it shows that this team, you know, is not taking any game for granted.
I think if I'm taking something that happened off the field, honestly, I think that the excitement that shows me was about 10 days ago, about a week and a half ago, when you guys had your drive-through tailgate.
Yeah.
The fan support.
Yeah.
What does that say to you guys when that many people line up at 5:30 in the morning for, you know, just to drive through, get a brat, and scan a QR code, you know, to get playoff tickets?
A couple of us made the reference because at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's pitch blackout, and it was very much a Field of Dreams. You know, at the end of Field of Dreams,
yeah,
where you see the string of lights,
yes,
all the way through the cornfield. That's what it was. It was like, you know, is anybody going to show for this? And they just kept coming and coming. You know, I've been here with the Brewers for 19 years, but I'm not a Wisconsinite. I grew up in Ohio. And there's just something about Wisconsin sports fans. I don't care if it's the Badgers, the Bucks, the Packers. They just bring it. And they're passionate about their sports. They love their sports teams. And, you know, we benefit for it. You know, I spent several years in Phoenix, a very transitory market. Nobody's from there. And if they're winning, it's great. And if they're not, nobody shows. Our fans have always shown. Winning, losing, they're always here. And we don't take that for granted. And I think this team doesn't take it for granted.
You mentioned the pop and circumstance. Some pretty special guys throwing the first pitches.
Yes. So we got Jimmy Gantner, obviously. You know, Jimmy, 17 years playing with us. We got Bill Schroeder catching, 30 years on TV. And Brandon Woodruff is going to throw out a first pitch today. And I think his daughter is going to be the play ball girl.
I did
so,
see that.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of conversation for, because I'm sure Brandon would love to be out there,
yes,
you know, instead of throwing a ceremonial first pitch, but what was the conversation, I mean, when he was approached?
Yeah, you know, we asked him if he wanted to do it, and again, I think it's just, for Brandon, I think he really appreciates the fan base, how they've supported him through this, you know. You know, losing Brandon last year, you know, and not having for the playoffs was like a death in the family. And yet people were so excited when we brought Brandon back, you know, on a 2-year deal, you know, knowing that he wasn't going to pitch at all this year. And he's just beloved. So I think this is way of Brandon's way of recognizing the fans as well.
So when we were talking with Rick Schlesinger earlier, Tom, he said he hasn't been getting a lot of sleep. He's got that nervous energy. He had like the leg thing going. And I do that when I get nervous, so you can tell he's even nervous. What about you? What are your nerves like when you know, we playoff time hits around?
You would think this is 6 years out of 7 we've been in the playoffs. You would think that it's to some degree old hat, and it's not. You know, we go through all of this. We're through 162 games, 6 months of that, to have these opportunities. And again, it's not taken lightly. I mean, my first year here was 2005. We made the playoffs in 2008. It was the first time we've been in the playoffs in 26 years. Now again, this, you know, the organization is becoming a regular in the postseason, but it's not taken for granted. And again, it's a 3-game series. You know, anything can happen in a 3-game series, and you want to take the next step. So yeah, no, I'm not sleeping either.
What is it about this ballpark, and what have you guys done? Because I think of, I mean, I grew up going to games at County Stadium in the 90s, and the movie Major League was looking for a dumpy stadium in the 80s, and they picked County Stadium, and it still stood for, you know, over a decade after that. this ballpark is almost 25 years old, and it is still, I mean, as beautiful as it was when I came for the second game. Me and my dad came for the second game ever here at AmFam Field. What have you guys done with the ballpark to make sure it just has a great experience for the fans who come through?
I will say that the ballpark isn't as nice as when it opened. It's better. We have invested a lot of money into fixing this ballpark up. The counties of, you know, the five county area helped fund this stadium, and it's really our fiduciary responsibility to keep this stadium in great shape and keep us playing in it as long as we possibly can. And thanks to the legislature, we'll be playing here through 2050 in this ballpark. But we have, every year we're looking to make upgrades, you know, and making it a better ballpark. The fan experience is a huge part of the fans coming out. They love to watch the team, but they also love just walking around this ballpark and taking it in. And, you know, it's really incumbent on us to keep it as clean as we possibly can, to keep it as safe as we possibly can, to add new interesting things to it, to bring the best food into Major League Baseball. We were voted number two food in all of Major League Baseball.
Is that why you added some new food menu items to try to, you know, bump up that ranking a little bit?
Yes. Hey, I will go visit other ballparks. I'll see what other teams are doing. And look, we'll steal good ideas and bring them to us.
I'll tell you what. I mean, a lot of people are going crazy for the 2 foot nacho box. Like, that's the thing. The chicken bacon ranch thing. I'm coming to the game tomorrow. I may have to find that and give that a try.
Well, the jalapeno popper dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've got some new beers for the playoffs in the Barrel Yard. And as we go deeper into the playoffs, and hopefully we do go deeper in the playoffs, we'll be bringing out more foods. So we have a whole list of things that we're going to bring out for every single round.
Tom, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for stopping
by. My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom Hecht joining us here at American Family Field. Hour two of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy starts 2 minutes.